Scripture reading can be taken from John chapter 11, verses 1 through 15. Now a sick man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters said to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were not just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, but if he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not with him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus hath died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so you may believe. But let us go to him.
Good morning. If I could ask you to add one to your prayer list this morning, our Maggie, stomach flu has been working its way through the family this week, and that's bad enough, but it's a little bit more dangerous for her with type 1 diabetes. That really messes with all the chemistry of the body, and so we're a little concerned about her this morning. Just ask you to pray for her that she'll be able to recover. Good to see you all here. We're going to finish today this series on signs of life from the Gospel of John. Last lesson this evening, so I'd like to invite you back if you want to hear the conclusion of that tonight. Lesson won't be long tonight, and then get a great fellowship and food afterwards. So I remind you of that and hope you'll come back. I want to begin today by picking up the reading where we were earlier in John chapter 11 and read for a while as we look at this story of Lazarus and his sisters and the Lord. We read down through verse 15. Let's pick up at verse 17 and read most of the rest of that together as we begin. It says there, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." You know, this chapter is so rich and so important. We could go a lot of different ways in studying it today. You know, you have Thomas and Martha and Mary, and of course Lazarus and Jesus. All important things about all of them. And then later on the Jewish authorities get involved, and even the high priest of that day, Caiaphas. All of those things important and valuable. We could study different characters in this story, and I'd encourage you to do so as you study in your own time. You'll be blessed. But we have time today just maybe focus on a couple of things from this chapter. And let's remember, first of all, that this is another sign of Jesus. As John tells the story of the Lord, these signs are recorded for us to learn something about him, to point us toward him, and thus to believe in him even more if we already believe, and perhaps to help to convince us if we have yet to believe in the Lord. Traditionally, when students of John, this gospel, have studied it, they have said that this sign involving Lazarus is the last one Jesus performed in his ministry as far as the book of John is concerned. But as we look at it, for our purposes, we're going to look at one more tonight, which I think is the greatest of the signs. But this one involving Lazarus is very important, obviously, in the ministry of Jesus. And we learn as we read this chapter that Lazarus and Mary and Martha are close to Jesus. They're close friends of the Lord. And as we've been reading along, we've met Mary and Martha before. But this is the first that we've heard of Lazarus, their brother. And they live in this little village that's just across the hill from Jerusalem, less than 2 miles away. They appear to be people that have some means. They have some money. Most of the people that Jesus walked and talked with on a daily basis were poor. This family seems to be an exception to that. They have some wealth. And John makes it clear that Jesus loves Mary and Martha and Lazarus very much. Lazarus is described to Jesus as the one you love. And it all adds to the emotions of what happens as we read through the story. I'm sure as you read this, hear it read, and you study it, there are some things in it that at least at first appear a little strange. Jesus' reaction when he first hears that Lazarus is ill. If it was somebody that we loved, we can imagine ourselves rushing to their side when they're in that situation or trying to do something. But when he's summoned to come help his friend, he waits a couple of days. And then he says that this illness, Lazarus's illness, is not unto death. When we first hear that, we think, well, what, that doesn't make sense. Lazarus most certainly dies. Why does Jesus say this? And why would he wait and not go immediately? Why would he say something that would be misunderstood by the casual listener to his words? Jesus explains back in verse 4 that what's going to happen is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So you have to take all that in light of Jesus' statement here. Jesus, you see, knows exactly what's going on. Our problem, and I'm sure those that were there, their problem is that we don't really know. Jesus knows. He knows what's going on. He's not confused by the situation. He knows what he's going to do and when he's going to do it. But they don't. Everybody else is just going to sort of have to catch up to Jesus on this. And most of them do by the end. But at first, it's a struggle. Jesus wants what's best for everybody involved. And so he delays his trip to the house of his friends, even though this meant that they would have to suffer some pain. They were going to suffer the pain of the death of Lazarus. Of course, Jesus knows that ultimately their faith was going to be built. It was going to be increased dramatically after what they witnessed when they see Lazarus come out of the tomb. And Jesus considered that outcome more important than the suffering in between. As we said, Jesus loved them. He wanted what was best for them. So he did what was best for them in the long run. And that's despite the fact that it would cause some pain in the short term. Now, when he finally comes to Bethany, Lazarus, of course, has been dead for 4 days. Very significant part of the story. Jesus, of course, had raised some other people in his ministry. Each of them, credible work of power, a miraculous sign. But those might be what we would call same-day raisings. People died, and Jesus raised them from death the very same day. They were not buried, in other words, like Lazarus. In this world, this ancient world, Jewish context, they had some different customs than we do, burial customs in particular. Today, when one dies, it may be 3 or 4 days before they're buried. In Jesus' day, every effort was made to bury the person the very day of their death. And so they would be buried, and then the mourning would go on for 2 or 3 days, perhaps. We've sort of reversed that. In our world, we have a period of mourning, and then we bury. So when Jesus arrived in Bethany, Lazarus has been buried for 4 days. They had some superstitions about this whole thing. One of them being that the soul of the one who died sort of hung around for 3 days near the body until the body started the process of decomposition, and only then would the soul actually fully leave. So in their minds, after 3 days, the soul is gone. It's total separation. And of course, death is irreversible at that point. Now, I'm not saying that they were right about that. In fact, I think they're clearly wrong, but that's what a lot of people thought. It was sort of a common idea, superstition. So when Jesus comes, after 4 days, you see, in the minds of these people, it's over. There's nothing that can be done. He isn't coming to raise Lazarus. To them, that's not possible. It's too late. He's just coming to mourn. Just like everybody else, he's coming to shed tears, to join them in that. But Jesus wasn't coming just to cry, was he? He has something else in mind entirely. He's going to do what they thought was impossible. And again, it's all for the glory of God. That God's glory might be seen in him. I want you to notice two different times in this chapter, verses 33 and 38. We're told by John that Jesus, when he saw everything that was going on, as he comes to the scene, when he sees all the mourning and the crying and even some of the doubting of him by the crowd, that's in verse 37. When he saw all these things, it says he was deeply moved and troubled. Actually, I believe it's not a very good translation of what that means. I don't know what the intent of the translators has been over the centuries, but I think they've sort of tamed what it says about Jesus here. And when that's done, we really miss one of the most important points of what happens. I'm convinced that what John tells us about Jesus here is that when he saw everything that was going on, the tears, the mourning, the doubting, all those things, that he was deeply distressed, upset, angry. That he was angry. It's true. John 11:35, everyone's favorite verse to memorize. It's true that Jesus wept. And he certainly did that. He is heartbroken. He sympathizes with the hurt of these people he loves. But I want to try and tell you today that Jesus is also angry. He is upset in that sense. You know, when we go today to the funeral home, we shed tears. And we hurt and we mourn. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly natural. But Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. He didn't make it up as he went along. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead in mere moments. And all these tears of sadness that were being shed were soon going to turn into tears of joy. And there's going to be celebration. So why is it that Jesus is angry, that he is disturbed in his spirit? Folks, please listen very closely for a moment. Jesus is presented in the Gospel of John as the Lord of life. And chapter 1, verse 4 says of Jesus, "In him was life." Jesus says of himself, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus is all about life. He's all about life. He has no tolerance for death. He hates death. You know, when this world was created, it was not created for death, but for life. Death only comes into the world when sin invades it. Jesus is the creator, the the author, the giver of life. And Jesus, our Lord, who is life, is angry at death. It's an enemy. On the other hand, Satan, who is death, hates life. There's more going on than just what we see in the physical here in this story. The scene that Jesus enters in Bethany, the scene of death and sorrow, is not the way it was supposed to be from the beginning. It's not natural. In the beginning, God created life. Jesus hates death. He fights against death. He offers an alternative to death, and he offers escape from its clutches. Jesus offers resurrection. He offers eternal life. So, in verse 43, when he had said these things, he cries out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And he came out. Amen. And friends, today, as Jesus says this to us back in John chapter 5, verse 25. "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming," Jesus says, "when all who are in their tombs will hear his voice and come out." I ask you, do you believe that today? Now, Paul will repeat it later. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." Do you believe that? I ask you today, are you in Christ? Are you? Are you in Him? Are you ready for this call that He has promised that's coming? You know, Jesus is coming back to this world, and sort of just like He came to Bethany all those years ago, He's coming looking for people He loves, and He's going to do something about death. It's called resurrection. Are you ready? Are you listening? Are you watching for Him? He's coming. I hope everyone here is ready to hear His call. Not in dread, but in full assurance. And if that's not the case, today you can meet Him, submit to Him, indeed be buried with Him in baptism, raised to a new life. Not only spiritual life, but promise that one day you'll come out of the tomb. I don't know why you'd trade that for anything else. If today you need to commit yourself to Him, His invitation is yours. If you need to come back to Him and recommit your life, you're invited to come this morning as we sing this song. And if we can help you in any way, maybe study with you about something that you have questions about, we invite you to let us know about it while we stand, while we sing.